Well, greetings to each of you this morning. Thank you, brothers, for sharing your trip to Laos there. I was very inspired. And to think of the billions of people around the world that God has created, each one of them uniquely formed according to his will, and he knew each one's name before they were born, and he loves each one. And to think of over there in Asia, we sometimes get pretty caught up in our lives and a lot of things, and that's where most of the people of the world live. Billions and billions over there. Probably 5 billion of the 8 in the world. In Asia, India, China. And it's hard for us to grasp that. But that going out, as Jesus asked us to do, that begins at home. It begins at home. And our prayer today is that as we send young men forth, that they mentioned, you know, the blessing of the church back home praying for them. And let us be able to say that in the future, that there's a church back home sending men out. There's a church where there's fruit coming forth. Lord, help us. I'm going to switch gears a little bit here this morning. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses gave my which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to open your word to us. We ask you, Lord, to give us understanding to what you would have us to learn from these truths in your word, Lord. Jesus, Holy Spirit, come and dwell, work in our hearts, I pray, In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, the book of Joshua is a book of, he's one of the 12 spies that went into Canaan, and he came back, and Joshua and Caleb were very optimistic about what is in Canaan. And they said that land, it is a good land, it is full of milk and honey, and they said, we are well able to go there. And and as of yet, they had just been dwelling in the wilderness. And so they longed to get out of this wilderness. They knew that God had done a mighty work, taking them through the Red Sea. They knew that the Lord was with them, but they were just struggling for 40 years in this wilderness land. And they had the promises that God had given to Abraham. They had about this land way back in Genesis. God told Abram back then, Genesis chapter 12, that unto thy seed I will give this land. Unto thy seed. And promise after promise after promise. That promise that Joshua quoted in verse 3 there in chapter 1 of Joshua. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. That's what God had told Moses. And now Joshua repeated this promise to the people. And so today, I thought since they were going to be showing some slides, I have a few pictures I'd like to show you also of three young ladies in our congregation that also went on a trip last year, about a year ago. And they went to the Sinai Desert in Saudi Arabia and Jordan. They went with Ken and Ange. And it was my daughter Lois and Joanna of Dan's and Kate of Dan and Esther. And I think they're okay with me showing these pictures. They agreed to it, so... The first picture I'm going to show you, and then we're going to come back to Joshua. The first picture we're going to look at is the Red Sea crossing, where the Red Sea opened up, and the Israelites crossed over. And that is a type of the old man. That is a type of the new birth. The old man died. The Bible says in Romans 6:6, our old man is crucified with him. Now, I know there's a lot of this teaching can become, people take this teaching and they make an untruth out of it sometimes, but it's still there is a scriptural truth there that our old man is crucified with him, and it's something that God did. It's something that God did. And that Red Sea is still open today. It is still open. God is beckoning anyone who wants to walk through the Red Sea. He wants to close. He closed that sea in a moment upon that Egyptian army, and he killed them all. It was a mighty work of God. It is the new birth. It is the regeneration of the heart. It is where a man gets new desires. But he needs a lot of. We need a lot of perfecting. We need a lot of cleansing, of old habits, of old ways of thinking, and that is what Canaan represents. A lot of songs that we sing or have sung or have heard that talk about Canaan being heaven, and I don't think that's accurate. I think that's maybe it's okay for to compare it to heaven, but it's not exactly accurate because there's no giants in heaven. There's no war in heaven. And Canaan is a type of the overcoming Christian life. And God, Joshua, was called to lead the people into Canaan. And Joshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. So he is, just like in Hebrews it says that Jesus is the captain of our salvation, Joshua was the captain of their salvation. And our old man is crucified. The old man is dead. And we are imperfect, but there's new desires in our heart. There's new desires. And when there's new desires and a desire to become more like Jesus Christ, why, God honors that. But there is an effort required on our part. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And this crossing of the Red Sea was a new birth. It was a miracle of God. That fateful night when those Egyptian army walked in after them and that waters closed in over them. And this is what they saw. This is where they believe that the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and then there's this path through the mountains where they would have traveled. And then the next picture is a picture of the top of Mount Sinai over there on the left. That's where Moses went to receive the Ten Commandments. And then over here, Mount Horeb is where Elijah ended up. There's a cave right there. They climbed that cave, and they also climbed Mount Sinai. Down here, the fenced-off portion, the Saudis have long protected this area from American, from Christianity, Christian people, because they didn't want, you know, that Moses was their Moses, and they talk about, you know, the Moses and Aaron and Abraham are part of their book, and so this is kind of the things that people are seeing here is fairly new. This has been restricted area. Down here, it is believed that this would have been Aaron's golden calf altar. And up at the top, if you go to the next picture, is a close-up picture of Mount Sinai. The top of Mount Sinai is scorched black. And if you go to the next one, this is at the top of Mount Sinai. After climbing for many hours, the stones are black. And the view of the wilderness that the Israelites dwelt in for 40 years is in the background there. The next picture is the rock at Horeb where Moses struck for water to come out. And I don't want to stand in the way of anyone seeing this. It was a great rock. And there was enough water came out of there for 3 million people. You see the size of the rock in comparison to the group there sitting at its base. The next picture shows you right at the base of that rock. It is believed that that is the rock that that Moses struck and water came out. And there's a whole sermon could be preached about how Moses, when he struck the second rock, how it kept him out of the promised land. And then the next picture is simply the wilderness from the top of Mount Sinai. That's where the Israelites dwelt. And the final picture is also a picture of the wilderness. This is the land. This is where they murmured for the leeks and the garlics and the onions. This is where they murmured for meat. This is where they murmured for, and the manna fell on this ground for 40 years. And today there's many people live in the wilderness. Many people live in the wilderness. And the Bible is clear that when we come out of Egypt and we are delivered from the power of darkness and are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, if we don't press into Canaan, we will lose our salvation. Many people don't believe that, but that is the gospel. God did not deliver us from Egypt just to have us dwell in the wilderness. He wants us to cross over into Canaan. And then there's that well-known story of how the Israelites ended up crossing over Jordan, and the Jordan parted, and they walked across. Beautiful story there. You can read in Joshua, the first part of Joshua here, maybe 3 and 4. And there again, those priests, it says as soon as the soles of their feet went into the waters of Jordan, the water parted. And today I'd like to talk a little bit about going into Canaan, the fruitful Christian life that is available to each of us. If we remember back there, it says in verse 3 of Joshua chapter 1, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. It is available to us. It is the fruitful Christian life is available to us, but we need to go take it. We need to take the sole of our foot and stand upon it. And we need to claim it, and we need to beg for it, and we need to want it more than anything else in the world. There is a warning that God gave Joshua in chapter 24, 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. There's a lot more you can read there. In Joshua chapter 18, after they had entered in there, and they took the city of Jericho, after they had entered in there, and they took, slew many walled cities and giants, and God came to Joshua one day, and he told them, Joshua said to the children of Israel in chapter 18 of Joshua, he said, how long are you slack to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? And today we could say, how long are you slack to go and take the land, take what God has promised to us? Because in chapter 1 of Joshua, there in verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee, is what God told Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before you. The New Testament equivalent to that is, there shall no sin reign over you. Romans 6, 6, I believe. Romans 6, 6, no, it is... Where is that written? There shall no sin have dominion over you, right? There shall no sin have dominion over you. That is the equivalent of Joshua, the promise to Joshua, that there's no man will stand before you. If you go in there in the power of, in the faith of God, and God with you, and you turn your eyes to the Lord, and you do the things that please Him, there's no man will stand before you. And today, the new covenant equivalent to that is, there will no sin have dominion over us. It is not God's heart, not His will, that any sin has dominion over us. It is a beautiful promise. And Joshua asked them after some time, he asked them, how long are you slack? You're just sitting here. There's so much land for you to gain. And the conditions to gain this land, the conditions to go forward into this land, is that we need to be born again. We need to be born of His Spirit. And that Red Sea is still open today for each of us to go through. And if we don't, then we're just a slave in Egypt. We're just a slave with all the rest of humanity. most of humanity is a slave to unbridled passions, a slave to fear, a slave to sin. And they sin and they sin and they sin and they can't help it because they have not the Spirit of God. Number two is we need to hate our sin. We need to hate it as badly as God does and go and set the sole of our foot in that land. And we need to claim it. And I'm not talking about a name it and claim it gospel, but God invites us to come. And number three, we need to walk in love as dear children. There was never a time in Israel's existence when they were going into that land. They saw that cloudy pillar and that fiery pillar. There wasn't a time when they doubted that they were God's very own children. And that is a condition we must have to go forward, as that we are His. We are His. And it says, walk as a dear child. Don't just walk as a child, but a dear one. I am precious to the Lord. We need to also be willing to go all the way. When we go and ask God to show me, to cleanse me, we need to be willing to go all the way, to be willing to become a living sacrifice, to be a fool for Christ. And then we also need to confess what we want. Confess what we want. I want to be free of this anger. Confess it to my brothers. Confess it to God. Confess it when I fail. I want to be free from this fear. I want to be free and go into there's giants there. There's giants there. If we want patience, God might just send a very hard situation in our life to show us our impatience. There's giants there. But every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto thee. And the title of the message, by the way, is There's a Land That Flows With Milk and Honey. There's a land that flows with milk and honey. And we go to Canaan. We go to Canaan. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. God's people need purifying of their thoughts, purifying of their old habits, purifying. And if we step the sole of our foot and we claim it and we ask the Lord to show me, we confess, Lord, I need it. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has purified our hearts and given us a new heart. And now we go on, we press into perfection. That water that Jesus promised would flow from us needs to flow through a pure vessel. When that water line that comes down out of Grable from the water district, they don't first run that water through a sewage plant. That water is run through a purifier. And God, in the same way, that living water that He wants to flow from us, it can't first flow through a sewage plant. God wants a pure vessel. And we go and we ask Him, Lord, make me pure as Thou art. Help me, Lord, to make a covenant with my heart, with my eyes, with my tongue. Purity is there available for us. Let us go set the sole of our foot upon that, in that place, and be courageous, and be know that it is an inheritance that God wants to give us. It is an attribute of His very own nature that He wants to give us. He wants us to experience freedom from lust. He wants us to flee youthful lusts and follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And He wants us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. He wants us to experience freedom from lust. He wants us to experience contentment. He wants us to step into this land. In this land, there is, I believe, these people that write these songs about Canaan being heaven. I think that is inspired by a professing Christianity that's just content living as a sinner saved by grace. And we all have hang-ups and faults, and you have your faults, and I have mine, and don't dig into me, and I won't dig into yours. And someday we'll cross over the river into Jordan, and all will be well. And it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is one of purifying. It's one of lifting up. It's one of belonging. It's one of inspiration. The grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And he wants us to experience that. And it's available to us in the land that flows with milk and honey. Contentment. Covetousness. Step into this land. These things war against faith in God. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says. As we look in the, as we look around the community and we see the great competition in the houses and the barns, and we see the great competition amongst the society, and may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to be content and to be stewards of the things God's given us. What if you came from another land and you settled here and someone gave you everything you have? They gave you your house and your bank account. They gave you X amount of money, and they gave you a car and everything you have. And it would stand to reason that if you're a steward of those things, that you would call him and ask him before you do anything. If your house needs a new roof, you would probably call this guy. If you want a new car, you would probably call him. Just like we do when we are stewards of everything that God has given us. We are stewards, and we should treat it like a steward. And we ask God. We ask God for direction. We ask God for direction. This man, if you need a new car, he calls his master and says, I need a new car. What kind would you have me to get? And before he hangs up, maybe he says, would you be okay if I would spend an extra $500 on fancy hubcaps? What do you think his master would say? You know, a steward of everything is part of contentment. And being a steward, if everything that I own belongs to God, how would it change how I live? Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Contentment is a beautiful part of that milk and honey. Freedom from covetousness, patience, just godliness with contentment. It's available to us. It's available to us, but we need to know, we need to understand how badly, how anti-God these things are, how anti-Scripture, how those things resist the Spirit of God in our lives. And we can go on and on with other things. Fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear of the future, fear of the dark, fear of disease, fear of death and disaster, fear of men. And Jesus is beckoning us. He's saying, peace I leave with you. Peace. It's beautiful promises we have in John chapter 14. The overcoming Christian life must be accompanied with let not your heart be troubled. There's no inspiration in trying to overcome when we're just troubled. When we're just troubled, Jesus doesn't want us to be troubled. He wants us to belong to him. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's go into Canaan. Step the sole of our foot and let us experience that peace. He wants us to experience it. The Israelites never doubted that God wasn't with them. When they saw that cloudy pillar and that fiery pillar. And they thought back of the wilderness. They thought back of the wilderness. Think of harmony and joy in the home. The home can be the source of greatest joy, and it can be the source of the greatest sorrow. Is it possible to always be joyful? Is it possible? I think it is. I think it is. To always be joyful. But we need to go, we need to cross the river, and we need to stand on that and beg God for it. And we need to choose. We need to make choices. It's God has given us a reason to rejoice, and we need to find that. He wants us to mine that out of the scripture. Precious metals and gold and silver, those are all found underground. We need to dig for them. More than anything, we need to confess it. Confess our need of it and desire it. Think of bitterness, freedom from bitterness. In Canaan, there's deliverance. There's deliverance. And there's a dying, there's a death to self that needs to happen. Think of anger. It destroys lives. It tears relationships apart. It ruins a Christian's witness. It scars tender children's conscience. Anger comes from a self-centered and idolatrous heart. We live in a world that constantly screams about my rights. When those rights are violated, we become angry. And that anger belongs in the wilderness. It's part of the wilderness. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor be put away from you. Ephesians 4:31. Pride, self-exaltation. Pride and self-exaltation. We read about a rich man, or a Pharisee, in Luke chapter 18, who Jesus spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. They despised others. Do you despise others? Do you look on others and have a feeling of being exalted above them? Jesus said, "They that be whole need not a physician." He can't help us when we are like that. And then he goes on and talks about the parable of the two men that went to the temple to pray, the Pharisee. And we know that story, the Pharisee and the publican. And this wilderness is a place where proud people dwell. Proud people dwell. And they're not happy with their circumstances. They're not happy with their rights being violated. They're not happy with their how God made them. And hence the fashion industry and the cosmetic industries are born. And there's pride in possessions and pride in accomplishments. There's pride in many places of a man's life. And there's also pride in dress, pride think about the first clothing, the coats of skin that God made for Adam and Eve. They were to cover sinful flesh. And if we would consider that we need to cover our sinful flesh. It's good to be neat and to be clean and not sloppy. But we say things with our dress that we would never say with our mouth. We can say a lot of things. We can say, "Look at me. Somebody please look at me." We can say, "Somebody compliment me." We would never say that, maybe. "Look how strong or how good I look." Or sometimes people dress in a way and they're proud of how godly they look. Let's let our dress reflect a biblical humility. Let's let our clothes be clean and neat and loose-fitting, but not sloppy. It should speak, and it does. It should say, "I am content and secure in God's love. And I'm at peace with Him and my fellow man and my church and my family. And I'm seeking God's honor in my life. And I am just me, just like God made me." That's freedom in Canaan. If you want to be If you want to have the be a beautiful creature in the sight of God, let Jesus shine through. The love, and there's many more things in Canaan that we could talk about that need to come out of the wilderness. They don't dwell in the wilderness. In the wilderness, there's despair, there's hopelessness, there's anger, there's jealousy, and there's strife. That's all part of the wilderness. That can't be in Canaan. That can't be in Canaan. And in closing, when the Israelites, if you want to turn from Joshua chapter 1 over to Joshua chapter 5, when they crossed over, when we cross over that river and we say, I'm going to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I am going to seek peace with God and men in a new way. I want freedom from fear. I want freedom from these besetting sins and all this baggage that I carry. I want it. I want it more than anything else. That's what the Israelites had to do. It was because there was giants. There was giants there. There was walled cities. In chapter 5 of Joshua in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was there spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel." We have a great and wonderful promise today that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as the Israelites crossed over and the enemy's heart melted, his heart still melts today when we, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the power of his blood and his salvation, I go forward and I claim what God wants me to have. He is for us, but it's a battle. It is a battle. And when God's people come to him by faith, when they trust him, when they rejoice in tribulation, when they enter his courts with praise, when they fast and they pray and they repent and they walk in the light and they love one another and they walk in spiritual unity and obedience, the enemy still trembles. I was blessed with those thoughts. God bless you.